contains adult content, which could include sexual behavior or exploitation, misuse of alcohol, smoking, illegal drugs, or violence and dangerous behavior. This book includes content that may be distressing to readers, including descriptions of suicide or self-harm and abusive or discriminatory treatment of individuals, groups, religions, or communities. Chapter 1. Results Day. Dante. Good luck today. Hope that you get what you want and need. Smiley face. I smiled at the text from my girlfriend Colette, but not for long. I was too nervous. Today was A-level exam results day. I only needed 4 good A-levels and then I could go to university, a year earlier than all my friends. My A-levels were my chance for a better life, and then, after university, when I had a good job, things would be different. And my family wouldn't need to worry about money in the same way. Where was the postman? My whole future was in his post bag. It was strange how one piece of paper was going to change the rest of my life. Just then, the doorbell rang, and I ran to the front door. It wasn't the postman. It was Melanie. And she wasn't alone. There was a baby in a buggy next to her. "Hello, Dante," she said. Can I come in?" "Yeah, of course." She went into the sitting room and I followed. What did she want? "Are you babysitting?" I pointed to the baby. "That's one way to describe it," Melanie replied as she looked around the room at the family photos. Some were of me, more were of Adam, but most were of Mum. Dad used to take lots of photos, but after Mum died, he hadn't used his camera again. Melanie looked the same as ever, maybe a little slimmer, but that was all. She was wearing black jeans and a dark blue jacket over a light blue t-shirt. Her dark brown hair was shorter than before, but she was still beautiful. And she had the biggest brown eyes I had ever seen. "What's its name?" I asked. "Her name is Emma," she said. "Do you want to hold her?" No, thank you." Was Melanie mad? Of course I didn't want to hold a baby. Why was she here? Where had she been since she stopped coming to school over 18 months ago? "I went to live with my aunt," Melanie said, as if reading my mind. "I'm back for the day, and I was close, so I thought that I'd come and say hi. I hope you don't mind." I shook my head and gave a little smile. "I'm going away today, actually," Melanie continued, "to stay with some friends who live in the north." "So, what have you been doing?" I asked. I couldn't think of anything else to say. "I've been looking after Emma." "Yes, but what else have you been doing?" Melanie gave a small smile, but didn't reply, and I was glad when the baby started to make baby noises and broke the silence. "What are your plans now you've finished your A-levels?" Melanie asked, picking the baby up. She looked at me properly for the first time, and I noticed that her eyes seemed older and sadder than I remembered. "If I've passed, I'm going to study history at university and then become a journalist after that. I want to write about wars and politics, important things. After a pause, I asked, "Whose baby is she? Is she a relative?" Just at that moment, the baby started to cry very softly, but it sounded like the start of a bigger, longer cry. "Her nappy needs changing. Hold her for a moment." Melanie pushed the baby at me, so I had to take it, but I held it away from me. She opened the large blue baby bag hanging on the back of the buggy and took out a yellow plastic baby mat, which she put on the carpet. She also took out a nappy, some baby wipes, and a small orange plastic bag. She laid the baby on the plastic mat, took off its yellow baby grow, and then suddenly started saying silly things like, "Am I going to change your nappy now? Yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am." When she undid the nappy, it was completely full of smelly baby poo. I wanted to be sick. "You should watch this," Melanie said. "You might learn something." "Yes, but why would I want to?" Melanie cleaned the baby's bottom, put the dirty nappy in the plastic orange bag, and then held it out to me. "Can you put this in the bin, please?" I carefully held the plastic bag away from me and ran to the kitchen, where I threw it in the bin. Melanie watched me return with a smile in her eyes. "Mel," I began, "why..." "Shush," she whispered, putting the baby back in the buggy. "She's fallen asleep." Then suddenly, she pulled a piece of paper from her bag. "Read this," she said. I opened the document. It was a birth certificate. I stared at her. "You're the baby's mother." "Dante," she said, "I need to tell you something." Mel was only 18. Had she never heard of the pill? She took a deep breath. "Dante, you're the dad. Emma is our daughter." Melanie's words hit me like a punch between the eyes, and I felt so sick I had to sit down. I couldn't speak, and I couldn't think. How could this be true? But now I was starting to remember things that I didn't want to, like the Christmas party at Rick's house almost 2 years ago. Remembering that night was like looking at a series of photographs, and as the night got later, the photos became less and less clear. Melanie and I had only been going out for a couple of months at the time. At the party, we danced and drank and kissed, and then drank and danced and kissed some more. Somebody shouted, "Get a room." So just for fun, we went upstairs and into the first room we saw. We closed the door and started kissing again. It had been the first time for both of us. It was the one and only time, and to be honest, it finished very, very quickly. I remember thinking, "Is that it?" Now, that one little moment had turned into this. "I don't believe you," I said. "My name's not even on the birth certificate. How can you be sure the baby's mine?"